Right, we've got to Isaiah. But we were in Isaiah for a long time before, weren't we? It's Isaiah chapter 50, we're at now.
50?
Isaiah 50. 50.
50.
50. 50. 50. 50. 50. 50. 50. 50. 50. 50. 50. 50. 50.
Oh dear. Well, I'm going to concentrate, Lord, with you on verses 4 to 11. We're going to have to read ourselves into the section in 50. But let's pray first, shall we? Ask the Lord to help us. Lord Jesus, it's all about you, Lord, somewhere in there. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will guide us, help us to see and hear, Lord, even as it was for those disciples on that Emmaus road, with their experience of learning from the scriptures, the things that spoke of you. Oh Lord, thank you. And help us, Lord, not only just to see, but to worship. Lord, because you are the God and the spoken truth. Lord, and the things that you wrote about yourself and about us, Lord, are it really is. Lord, there's no pretense or making it up when we come face to face with you. So we just bless you, Lord, and thank you for your word. Pray your Holy Spirit will lighten our hearts, Lord, and equip us to be disciples of Jesus, followers of the Master. Help us, Lord, we pray, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah 50. Well, for those of you that weren't here, we've been looking at the servant of the Lord, and it's obviously Jesus. It refers to the servant of the Lord. And we're beginning to develop more of that. One of the things that Isaiah has done to start with, and there are small hints of the other side, but the major side of the coin is what, when the Messiah comes, the servant of the Lord, he's going to bring the people back to God. It's going to be a great thing. He's going to be the Lord, the King, the ruler. He's going to restore all the broken, damaged stuff. Yeah? It's good, isn't it? But Isaiah begins to hint, and we're picking it up even more now in this chapter 50, Isaiah begins to hint that the road to the glory is going to be through some very dark ways. And for Messiah, Jesus himself, it means him obviously ultimately suffering and dying for us. And Isaiah brings that out in this chapter 50. But he's talking to Israel, first of all, and we'll just say, this is what the Lord says. Before we go any further, you know, there's lots of stuff in the Bible you can talk about. But this is what the Lord says. It means that it's God's book. Mm. Yeah? It's God's book. It's not just any old literature. Mm. You know, I had a discussion with a man yesterday, and, you know, it's just, what's different from that to any old other book, you know? Well, it's what the Lord says. Mm. And, okay, I'm accepting that. And I said to him about this. Basically, how do you know it's God's book? Yes, well, I say you can test it out against the archaeology. Well, there are other books that are archaeology books as well, you know. I says, but the other thing about it is, it fits. Mm. Human beings haven't changed, and this describes us just as we are. Mm. And it tells us what we need to get where we should be. So, Isaiah's talking to Israel. Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away? Or to which of my creditors did I sell you? Because of your sins you were sold, because of your transgressions your mother was sent away. When I came, why was there no one? When I called, why was there no one to answer? Was my arm too short to ransom you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you? By a mere rebuke I dry up the sea. I turn rivers into a desert. Their fish rot for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the sky with darkness and make sackcloth its covering. So the Lord's asking a question to Israel, to his people. He says, what's your problem? Yeah? Your sins have made a bit of a mess of your lives. And, you know, that's the reason you're in the situation you're in. It's your transgressions, your sins. You know there are several words for sin. Yeah? Three words, really, in the Bible. Transgression, iniquity, and plain old sin. What's transgression mean? We use the word trespasses sometimes. What's the word to transgress? Convey the idea of
the law.
Yeah, but it's more than breaking the law. There's something about it. That transgression means, when you say, do not trespass, is, it means you move from where you are to where you shouldn't be. Right? So transgression is doing the things that are wrong. You're overstepping the mark. Right? And then there's sin, which means to fall short of the mark. Those are the things you should do, but you don't do. Right? So it gets you both ways. The ones you think you shouldn't do, you do do. And the things, it's part of Romans, isn't it? And the things that you should do, you don't do. So it's sins of omission and commission. But then there's the other word, iniquity. Right? And what's iniquity? Sorry? It's the state of the heart. It's, iniquity means bent, crooked. Right? And basically, it's that that makes you do the others. Right? The fallen nature makes you do the going over or the falling short. We're crooked. Did you know that?
Yeah, bent.
Exactly. Exactly. Bent. And he says to the Israelites, your transgressions have caused the problems. That's why your mother was sent away. That's why I've banished you. And he's talking future here, but it's going to happen, of course. Right? And I came, and there was nobody. I called, and there's no one to answer. God was looking for people to respond to him. Still doing that as well, of course. Right? And he says this, was my arm too short to ransom you? What's the answer?
He can do it.
He could do it. Yeah. Of course he could do it. Yeah. What does that tell you about something about salvation? I'm technically a Calvinist. I believe that God goes before, you know, and he does things in people's hearts. But there's the other side of the coin as well. And it's this. Right? People have to respond to God. Right? I know he gives us the grace to respond to him. But he says, was my arm too short? I could help you if you ask. Mm-hmm. Yeah? If you don't ask, you don't get. It's the way it seems to work sometimes, isn't it? Right? So the Lord says, come to me. It's an invitation, it's a command. So he says to the Israelites, was I able to help you? Sure. By a mere, I'll give you an example. He says, by a mere rebuke, I dry up the sea. Right? So, you know, he can just say, shh. And the waters went. They did twice. Yeah? Jordan and Red Sea. Yeah, he can do it, right? And so he's able to do all these things. So that's the Lord saying the Israelites have let him down; they've turned their backs on him. And so here comes verse 4, the Messiah. We'll read the whole section. Hopefully, I'll not stop before I get to the end. You know, temptation's strong sometimes. we'll go back anyway. So this is Messiah speaking, right? The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue. To know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I opened my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment, and moths will eat them up. Among you who fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant, let him who walks in the dark and who has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you will receive from my hand. You lie down in torment. Double choice. Yeah. Follow him, trust him, or go your own way. Right. So, back to verse 4. The Sovereign Lord. Yes, wonderful title there. The Lord, the King of all. Yeah? The Sovereign Lord has given him an instructed tongue. What's that mean? He's been taught, yes. He's been taught, well taught. How was Jesus taught?
By listening.
By listening, yes.
Well, when he was young.
When he was young.
He said he read the scriptures.
He read the scriptures. Jesus read the scriptures. Right? He read the Old Testament, right? So, that's how he was instructed as well. But there's more to that. You know, when he says that age for Jesus' bar mitzvah, when he went to Jerusalem, you know, he says he was asking questions of the elders and the scribes there. You know, and I don't know, we get the wrong idea. You know, when we say Jesus was asking questions, it sounds a bit like, you know, it's a young kid saying, you know, asking to be informed. You know what I mean? When you say you're asking questions. You know, a little one. Why is the grass green? You know, why is the sky blue? Those sort of things. Yeah? Right? Yeah. Jesus wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
Jesus was, it was a typical way of, well, it's what we're doing now.
Yeah.
It's what the rabbi did. Yeah? They asked questions and they wanted answers. It was to get people thinking about things. Jesus is giving these old boys a bit of a brainstorm. That's what he's doing.
Mm.
Yeah? The Messiah is coming in out on his own here, you know. So, there's the question. He was given an instructed tongue. He knows what to say and how to say it, yeah? Just got a few sort of cross-references we can pick up on this. The passage that sort of sums it up is Luke 23, verse 31 and 32. Yeah, look at that. Matthew, Mark, Luke 23. This sort of sums up the passage we're looking at here. 23, 31 and 32, if I can find it. Luke 23, I haven't got the right way here. That's 31. No, it doesn't look like it's the right one at all.
Mm.
No. But you may do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Yeah. He's asking a question, of course. No, that's not the piece. No. Never mind. I should have checked that out, shouldn't I? Green. Right. Okay. He's given him I'll try John 8:26 then. That might be better. John 8:26. John 8:26. I have checked it out, most of these references. You know, you rely on people. And what do they do? They'll let you know.
28.
Luke, it's John 8:26. Is there a verse 26 in John 8?
Yeah.
Right, that's good. We're getting somewhere. Yeah, that's all right. John 8:26. What's that saying?
I have much to say in judgment of you.
Yeah.
But he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world.
Yes. There, that's it.
That's
the one. Yeah. Jesus says, I've got a lot to tell you, lot. Yeah. But he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He who sent me is reliable. Could be translated back into Isaiah 50, verse 4, the sovereign Lord has given me. Yes? He who is reliable is the sovereign Lord, and he's given him words to say.
Mm. Right? So he's been claiming it all along.
Right, so Jesus says these words, right? He's got an instructed tongue. He's been well taught, right? And he knows the word. Yes?
Would he be contrasting himself with what he said earlier? He said in Isaiah 6 about making their is deaf and
sorts, isn't it? That's Isaiah speaking about the people. Isaiah has the
message. Yeah, but obviously Jesus has got his ears open.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's the con.
Well, it is, yes. The people are deaf, yeah. And he said that to me earlier on.
Yes.
Well, earlier on in the servant songs, he calls Israel his servant as well. And he says, who is deaf like my servant?
Yeah.
Who is dumb like my servant? That's Israel he's speaking about here. Yeah.
But here,
he's got the word. He can hear and he's got the word. He says, he's got the word that sustains the weary. Isn't that beautiful? To know the word that sustains the weary. That's just the right word, isn't it? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus has got it and he wants you to have it as well. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Your words can sustain the weary if you've got the right ones. Yeah. Of course. That's what being an encourager is about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Having the right word that just ministers to people.
Right.
Jesus comes on. We read earlier on in last week about the bruised reed and the broken, the really smouldering wick.
Mm-hmm.
He won't snuff them out. He won't break them. This is what he's here to help them and encourage the weary and the weak. Yeah, and I guess wonderful. Jesus is so gracious, isn't he? He's just got the right things to say to bless us. He will sustain the weary. Who are the weary?
Oh.
On a hard day, we're weary. Does it ring any bells for you of the passage that Jesus spoke in the New Testament?
Matthew
11, is it?
All of you that are weary.
Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Salvation is what he's offering, isn't it? So the Lord's got the right words for us. So, And then he says, he wakens me morning by morning. Wakens my ears to listen like one being taught. Yeah? He wakens me morning by morning. Well, that's, what's wrong with that? We all wake morning by morning, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Do you thank God when you wake up?
Yeah, I'm getting through the night.
But it's not talking about Jesus having an alarm clock and God wakes him up. That's not what it's about. He wakens me morning by morning. What's Isaiah trying to convey through what Jesus is saying? Think about him, talk about him, he wakes
me.
It's always there. That's the idea. It's constant. Every day is a relationship deep with the Father. Yeah. So we read about Jesus going out early before it was light sometimes to pray and commune, even overnight sometimes. Yeah. So every day, all the time, continuously, Jesus' relationship with his Father was there. Yeah. So he's got the supply line working, which is good. Right. And what's true for Jesus, you know, is meant to be, in a measure, true for him. He's your example.
Mm.
It can be a very disturbing example and a very depressing example, but for one thing. When I say, you've got to be like Jesus, you say, never in a billion years, right? What's the answer to that?
One day.
Well, one day we will be like him when we see him. But in the meantime,
keep going.
The Holy Spirit. Mm. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes the difference between theory and reality.
Mm.
Yes. So, but Jesus is doing it for us. He shows us how it's done. So, he wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. Yes. So, to waken your ear. What's that mean? Mm. To waken your ear. Concentrate. Listen. Mm. Tune in. Right. Mm. I said to the boys and girls on Thursday, I said, you know, we're talking about the hearing, ability to hear and things.
Mm.
It was about my sheep hear my voice. That's what I was working on. But, yeah.
The assembly.
The assembly, yes. One of the things that's interesting is you can listen without hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can you can listen for something and there's no sound.
Mm.
Right? But also you can hear without listening.
Mm.
You know, there's all this stuff going over, I'm talking to you and it's floating over your head, going out the door. Right? Okay? Well, we shouldn't do that either, should we? You got the point. Yeah? Jesus is tuned in. Right, that's what it's about. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. One being taught. What's that say about Jesus' response to the Father? He's eager to listen. Eager to learn. Eager to take it in, right? Yeah? Have you ever been in a classroom where the kids are keen to learn, you know? The teachers that have those sort of classes love them. Yeah? But if you've got a bunch of kids that just don't want to learn, it's absolutely hard work. Well, he's keen to learn, right? That's good. Okay. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. Yeah. To open my ears, what's that about?
It's a sign of obedience.
But there's more than that. The phrase to open one's ears, if I can find it. 2 Samuel 7:27 is a reference, another version of opening the ears. 2 Samuel 7:27, and I did check this one out.
Is it about not being rebellious?
Yes, or something like that. Could be. 2 Samuel, what did I say, 7:27?
2 Samuel.
No, it's not about being rebellious yet, this bit, yeah. Right? 2 Samuel 27 says, O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. Right? You have revealed this to your servant. Well, what does the King James say? Anything, John? New King James on that one?
Pretty much
the same. Revealed, alright, okay.
Revealed to thy servants.
Revealed to your servants. Well, the word isn't revealed. Yeah? The word is open my ears.
Yeah.
Yeah? So opening the ears is a way of saying God's revealing things. Jesus was receiving revelation. Yeah? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So open my ears. I've heard what God has to say. He's shown me things. Right. And isn't that lovely when God does do that, you know, when he shows you.
Yeah.
The important thing about anything in the Christian life, if you're going to grow in it, you have to have it revealed to you.
Mm.
Yeah? Because I can explain it and talk about it, but unless you get it, unless God reveals that to you, it's just information. But once you've had it revealed to you, it's yours. Yeah. Okay? Have you had scriptures where they jump out at you,
yeah.
You know, it's just
yeah.
God speaking through that.
Yeah.
That's revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no You can have as much religion as you like. There is no substitute for God speaking.
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying here. God's revealing things to him. He's opened my ears and I've not been rebellious. He certainly hasn't. Let's have a look at this verse. Matthew 29:39. What's that say? Matthew 29:39. Have we got anything good there?
Matthew 29, there isn't.
Oh, dear.
I've checked
that one. Confession, I was checking these out while I was sitting next to Jean. She was in bed, so I was sitting up next to her. And I obviously lost my plot then. Okay, I do have a good verse for you. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. Jesus did what Father said, even though it meant going. I'm pretty sure it's about. It was meant to be a reference to the Gethsemane one. Not what I want, Father, but what you want. Yes. So what reference is that one? Not my will, but your will, in Matthew. I don't know. Matthew something or other. It's later on. Matthew. Matthew 26. Verse 39. It was 6:39. There, I can't read the writing, you see. Yeah. It's Matthew 6. That doesn't look like a 6 to me there. I've just seen the 39.
26:39.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No. There you are, you see. We get there in the end, That's the one. Right? He says, I have not been rebellious. Right, let me just change that number to make it very clear that it's a 26. Of course, I might need to use that again someday. No, 26:39.
26:39.
Yeah, but that's not what
you
just said then.
26:39
says,
Don't
look
at Father.
Yeah.
Is any Father listening? Father. Not what I want, but what you want. Right, which takes us back to this. I have not been rebellious. I have done what you've asked me to do. Right?
Mm.
Yeah. I've not been rebellious is a quote back to Deuteronomy 21:20, if my writing is correct. Deuteronomy 21:20. 21:20. What's that say? Yes. Contrast, it's the contrast, yes. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. And all Israel will hear of it and be afraid. I bet there weren't many disobedient kids in Israel. No. Anyway, Jesus is obedient. That's where we're getting at, right? Right. Next bit then. I have not drawn back. Yeah, he's kept going. I often, and just think about what, you know, think about it. You know, when Jesus was growing up as a young man, learning the scriptures, studying the word, and he came across passages like this, how must he have felt? Because he's reading his future.
Didn't he know already? Because he was there at the beginning.
Yes, but I mean, as a young man, he learned. Obviously, he had to learn the scriptures.
As a human.
So, as a human being, our Lord, reading these passages about himself, you know, he knows he's going to face this.
Yeah, but anyone can have the fullness of it as a child.
Probably not, but I mean, reading about what's coming is not very pleasant either.
Didn't he take that load on his back?
Once he started his ministry, that was it, yes, yes. It was, he knew what was coming.
He knew that he was
fully grown. Yes, yes. Okay, so I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Right? Okay, so there, Isaiah's not giving us an allot of what's going to be happening, but we've got to start here. Right? That Jesus is going to be facing what is back to those who beat him. What happened? Some of these were literally fulfilled, you realise that? Yeah? Yeah?
By stripes,
yeah. Yeah? How was he beaten? Yes, the Roman lash. Mm-hmm. Yes, so Jesus was beaten with the lash of the Romans. Terrible. In fact, it is said, I mean, I don't go into the gory details. No.